quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and to kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that His kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While He warned off the dangers that lie in their path, but they heed not His mercy and to kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care. For where you have pleasure, their hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in His heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. And those who so carelessly forgot their God. I've seen some pretty towns. Guess what I could say? I've been around. Found no place to settle down. There is a line. And I'm just a pilgrim here, toiling through a world of fear. My time to leave is drawing near. I'll go to that land. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant train. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. Why am I so homesick for just not myself here anymore, waiting for that open door that leads to that land. So I'll dry those weeping eyes, lift my head towards the sky. Farewell to this world, goodbye.
I'm going to that land. There is a lamb I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a lamb, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand. I'll speed up and there slow down. There is a lamb. Why am I so homesick for just not myself here anymore? Waiting for that open door that leads to that lamb. So I'll dry his weeping eyes, lift my head towards the skies. Farewell to this world, goodbye. I'm going to that land. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand. I'll sit up and there slow down. There is a land. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand. There I'll speed up and there I'll slow down. There is a land.
The king made a feast for a banquet, invited all his men to come and play. But he didn't know before the night was over that the kingdom that he held would pass away. As the crowd began to roar in a drunken slumber, our worried look soon took his smile away. As he looked, he said, "Behold, I see a finger, and it's writing something on the wall today. The handwriting's on the wall, can't you see it? The message tells the story again today. Don't be waiting the balance and find one thing. Don't turn down the truth for your day. I send warning, I'm sending judgment on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. For there's no way to erase it, the handwriting on the wall again today. Now this world is getting closer to destruction. As you walk the streets, you can hear the near doomsday. And we all know that something's soon to happen, for wicked men refuse to stop and pray. So laughter will one day turn to mourning, and the cries for help will be heard far away. Like the king when he saw the message, it was then he realized he'd waited too late. The handwriting's on the wall, can't you see it? The message tells the story again today. Don't be waiting the balance and find wanting. Don't turn down the truth for your day. I send warning and I'm sending judgment on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. There's no way to erase it. The handwriting's on the world today. The handwriting's on The message tells the story again today. Don't be weighing the balance and find wanting. Don't turn down the truth for your day. I'm a warning and I'm sending judgment on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. And there's no way to erase it. The handwriting's on the world again today.
Do you still hear, when you walk down the streets, the word doomsday?
Well, you don't hear it, but they feel it in their heart. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trembling clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trembling clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your limbs trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Can you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joys will soon begin. And the evening when the camel train comes in. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Can't you hear the Eliezer call? For there's going to be a wedding. Our joys will soon begin. And the evening when the camel train comes in. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Can't you hear the Eliezer call? For there's going to be a wedding. Our joys will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in.
Satan has managed to lull people to sleep. You know, like these religions, say, these cults. Mm-hmm. They all believe they're going to heaven because Satan has deceived them. He's got a mechanism going that they're convinced, like my brother John said, I was trying to witness to him. And they're calling me everybody's a Christian. He's got himself convinced, or he did have. About a month before he died, he came here and he kind of apologized in his own little way. He more or less said, hey, you've been right all along. He didn't say it, but he more or less said it. He saw through their charade, eh? Mm-hmm. Well, I've been trying to tell him all these years. Looks like he finally come to a census. And that's how people are convinced. They're convinced if they live in their commune and they go to church every day, then they get themselves a ticket to glory. Mm-hmm. But it's deception. It's Satan has managed to intoxicate the people, like exactly like it says in Revelation. The inhabitants, that's everybody that's not spiritually minded. The inhabitants of the earth have become intoxicated, have become drunk with the wine of that religious fortification. And that's, you can't get inside of it, you can't convince them otherwise. All we've been doing here for the last 30 years is to try to convince people to examine themselves, because judgment is looming on the horizon. That's been our mission, is to just to warn people. And like you were saying yesterday, and Ezekiel, He told Ezekiel, go tell them, even though we know they're not going to listen, but you just go tell them, and because they're set in their ways, and no matter what you tell them, they're not going to believe you anyway. And that's exactly what happened. They did believe Ezekiel. Their ears have become dull, you know.
That's right. And when it comes to pass, then at least they will have known that there was a prophet among them that was telling them the truth and was warning them of what is to come.
I don't expect people to believe us. I don't expect too many converts, but that's not our job, you know. If God doesn't open their understanding and their eyes, then there's nothing we can do. We just put it out there, exactly, and like you were saying, you can go tell them, but they're not going to hear you anyway. That's exactly what we see here today. You know, there's not too many people that believe us. Sometimes we get people checking in on us, and then we say something that's not fits the narrative, and it's not something that they've been taught, and then after a while they kind of chill out, and they go listen to the John Hagees of this world, or somebody, somewhere they find a little church that tickles their ears, you know, and they go back in their old religious gutters, but we got the truth. We're just telling people the truth, even though they listen, and even though they don't want to hear us, that's all right. That's not our mission. We want to continue where we were yesterday about the regions beyond. But before we do, I want to read you something here. But as it is written, see, everything we say is written. You got to find it in the Bible. When we say it about Eliezer, and we say it about the handwritings on the wall, we get all that out of Scripture because we know the hour we're living in. But it says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But see, when you listen to their sermons, that's where they'll stop. And I always wondered, why do they stop there? Because I tell you what, these sermons that these other writers had, they were written by a lot of, and Satan was infiltrated these sermons. Because back in the day, they didn't have a printing press. Somebody had a nice handwriting and they just wrote them, and the devil was there, and they put their own stuff in, whoever wrote them, and already put some stuff out. But when we listen to the sermons, I know I was there. That's just exactly what it says here. But just as it is written, things that no eye has seen or ear heard or might imagine are the things God has prepared for those who love him. Like I said, that's where they stop. But see, you and I, we go on to the next thing where the nugget is. But God has revealed these things by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the things of man except the man's spirit within him? So too, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God is within that person. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we know all things, so that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. And we speak about these things not with words taught to us by human wisdom, but with those taught to us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. The unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. This one, the one who is spiritually, discerns all things, yet he himself is understood by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to advise him? But here's the key, but we have the mind of Christ. The other one says, but we have the mind of Christ because we know all things. The information that we get it from the Spirit of God. And that's why the reason why we know the hour we're living in, because from the Spirit of God. We just listen to the Spirit of the world and the Spirit of the age. We'll not pick this up. And we can talk here till we're blue in the face. The people, they listen to us, but they don't really get it. They don't understand it because Only leak seat one kind of. If God does not open up your understanding, we're just, it's just, you're just gibberish to you. And that's why we have that Spirit of God. But to us, He has revealed these things by His Spirit. That's why we see the things we see. That's why we're way out where nobody can reach us. They can't understand what you're trying to say. Yeah, it's pretty good entertainment for a short period of time, but you can see how people chill out because they don't like what they hear, or they don't really. They may like what they hear, but they just don't understand it. Well, that's why we want to keep contending on the regions beyond, where we get our information from the regions beyond, what happens in the regions beyond, by this here Spirit. That's why we have this. That's why I read the Scripture, as it is written: "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but to us He has revealed these things by His Spirit." Like I say, that's where we get our information from. Heavenly Father, we just read Your Word here, Lord. I just pray You'll take what we read here and anoint and inspire it. And we just want to take time out, Lord, to look into Your Word and to give You thanks for the many things You've done for us and given us the understanding of Your Word, Lord. And just the best thing You could have done for us is open Your Word to us. Bring us to the ministry of these two great men and the church age of Laodicea, allowed us to see the things that are most important, Lord. And we just give You thanks that You've saw us fit and worthy to put us through this journey that You put us on, to be able to be persecuted for Your name's sake and for the sake of the Word. We just pray, Lord, You'll take what we're going to be seeing here, use it for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying, the regions beyond, yes, and there's another world, a world that's so real to us that we can sometimes touch it, like you said. Yes, this world here, it has no value. There's no future in this world. This world is on its way out. And men are convinced that this is it. That's the only thing to live for. And we're trying to activate people or to motivate people that this life is nothing. That's why we're talking about the regions beyond, because that rich man, when he was there in hell, he had only one compassion. He had only one mission that he wanted to accomplish. He wanted Abram to send somebody over, send Lazarus back to my father's house and tell my brothers that this is not a good place that I'm at. And they're going the same down the same direction. And that's why we're putting in all our effort. All our resources, we're putting in to warn the people that we come out of where this is all leading to. There's wealth and this riches and this false religion, which they think is going to take them to glory. It's just deception. And like I said earlier, my brother said, in the colony, everybody's a Christian. That's some of the people we're talking to, trying to shake them into reality. But see, just like you were reading yesterday about Ezekiel, you see, God knew that they're not going to listen. But see what He did. He put it out there that someday that they will know there was a prophet among them. There was somebody amongst them that was trying to warn them. And that's going to be where the most painful thing about being in hell. You were warned time and time again, and you rejected it and rejected it. And that's what you're doing. We're just warning about people. There is a beyond. There is a life beyond this life. And I haven't been there yet. But when I read this here scripture that we know all things, God can take you by His Spirit. He doesn't have to literally take you down into hell and show you what's going on down there. Because over the course of my life, I've run into people that have the out-of-the-body experience. That we're gone. That, like that's, keep saying, that boss, that Jim Mandel from Forest River Colony, he was working down in Mitchell, South Dakota, cleaning up a burned-out elevator, and he had a heart attack. And he was dead for 17 minutes, and he was dead for quite a while. Enough, long enough to know that he'd been deceived, he'd been duped, and he came back, and he told his testimony, and he went from colony to colony, like I keep saying over and over again, and he tried to tell people what's going on, that this Hutterite lie is just first-class deception. And he went from colony to colony to warn people, but it fell on deaf ears, and apparently I was the one that heard him, because he came to our house, and he knew my dad pretty good, and he gave his testimony that he was dead, and then He tried to get into heaven, and he was convinced when you're in the calling that you're going to heaven. But here he finds out reality sets in, and he finds out they won't let him in. He just simply said, what have you done for Jesus? What have you done in your life? Well, I was in the colony. I was a boss in the colony. What's a colony? He didn't even know what he was talking about. And then he begged, and he saw the handwriting on the wall a little bit too late, and he cried, and he begged, and he pleaded that angel to give him another chance. I'll go back, and I'll tell the people that this is just deception, that I've been duped. And he put his whole heart, and about 2 months later, the Lord, he recovered from his heart attack. It brought him back to life, and he recovered. And he went from calling to calling, wherever he could find an ear that might let him have, give his testimony. And he came up to my dad, and he was serious. I was right in that little room there where he shared his testimony, and I saw his lips quiver. I saw the tears in his eyes. I saw how desperate he was because he could never forget about that memory that he had when he was dead, and he begged and pleaded to give him another chance. And like I say, he went from colony to tell people what this is all just first-class deception. And once I found out about it, I went back and told his boys about it, and they didn't even want to hear me. They didn't want to listen to me. But see, this thing is, I've encountered people over the years. I was delivering cement over to this guy, Brendan, and I could tell he wasn't a very healthy man. He was overweight, and his complexion was bluish. And as that, I got some stuff in my truck. It's a serum. It's good for the heart. And he came back and he told me when I was washing off my shoes, came back and told me, said, Sam, I had a heart attack and I was dead for 37 minutes. He was dead. And he told me about his experience. And when he told me that he was dead for 37 minutes, I just simply asked, so where did you go? Did you go to heaven or did you go to hell? And he was shocked that I would say that, because he'd be trying to tell people over and over again. And when he talks about it to his friends and the people that he grew up, the people that he goes to church with, I think he went to a Seventh-day Adventist church, they kind of shunned him. They didn't want to hear him say that. And I was the first one that would ask him, where did he go, to heaven or to hell? And he said, how do you know I went anywhere? Well, he says, well, when you die, you go to one of these two places. You either go to heaven or you either go to hell. And he talked about heaven, you know, for every time I'd see him, I'd go there and visit him, and he would tell me about heaven, how glorious heaven is. And then one day, he said, Sam, I want to tell you something. I want you to come with me into my office in the shop. So he went in his office, and he was crying like a little kid. He said, I went to that other place too, that place called hell. And it's a horrible place. He said, I saw a lot of friends that I know, and I saw a lot of people that I know are going there because I've seen them there. They're already there, but they're still alive, but they might as well be dead because they're actually already in hell, here already. And he told me about hell, and he couldn't even talk about it without crying. He said, it's a horrible place. He said, I don't want to go there. And, see, I've had experience like with that Joe Mandel and then with that other guy, and then over the years, I've run into people that have experience in the region beyond. I don't have to go there. I believe it. I believe there is a hell. I believe it's a horrible place, and I believe it's, you can't even describe the horror of it. That's why you and I, we're putting all our resources, all the effort, everything that we say and do, everything that we have accumulated for ourselves over the years, is simply out here to warn people about this doom and gloom, telling people about the hour and day that we're now living in. But see, it's falling on deaf ears. People don't want to know. Just like that Joe Mandel's boys, when I went down to Forest River Colony and I told them about this thing that their dad was looking for. See, their dad said, there's got to be something out there somewhere. All we got to do is put our life on the line and go look for it. And that's exactly what I did one day when they were starting to terminate me. And I knew if I'm here in that calling when these preachers come in, I've told my testimony time and time again. But see, just for the sake of time, I just want to let you know, I heard that man say, there's got to be out there somewhere. He told my dad, let's just go put our life on the line and just go look for something. There's got to be somewhere. And I heard him say that, and there came a day when I just did that. I put my life on the line. I left everything behind, And I went out there looking, and I said, Lord, there's got to be something somewhere. I'll get in my car, and I'll just drive until I can't drive no more. And I was from my house to the car, and the Lord told me to go out to Vancouver. And there in Vancouver, I found exactly what that Joe Mandel was looking for when he said to my dad, let's go, we'll find something somewhere. There has to be something. And I found it, and it was right at that Eddie Bissell's church out there. It was the ministry of Brother Brenham. Mm-hmm. And from there, he took me to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And that's how I found it. Once I found out what I did, I took time out, and I went down and told his boys. I thought, surely they'll want to know. And see, they looked at me like they would, honestly, they wished their dad would have died right there when he had a heart attack, instead of going around telling people about his testimony. They were ashamed of him. And they didn't want to hear what I had to say. They didn't want to hear when I told them about the ministry of Brother Brennan.
Like you were reading there in Corinthians about being the Spirit. And that's how God communicates, is by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And you go back to the days of Noah, it says in Genesis 6, verse 3. Now, I'm going to read it in German and translate it from German because it puts it a lot better. It says, die Menschen wollen sich von meinem Geist nicht mehr strafen lassen, denn sie sind Fleisch. The people will no longer be punished by my Spirit, for they are flesh. It's basically saying they will no longer be led and guided mm-hmm. by my Spirit. They went and did their own thing. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can see all around the world how people have managed to come up with their own idea of who God is and what's pleasing to Him instead of being guided by His Spirit.
That's exactly right, because I remember back in the day, I tried to tell my dad, my father-in-law, how this thing works. I tried to tell him about salvation and all these things, and he kept interrogating me time and time again, and I tried to do what I always do. I tried to tell people about Jesus, about salvation, and I just could not come true to him. And time and time again, he would come over, and I would take time out to tell him what I believe and about salvation. And one day I got so frustrated and I just said, Lord, how come he doesn't hear me? How come he can't understand me? And the Lord gave me a scripture. The wicked shall do wickedly and none of the wicked shall understand. Here I'm talking to a man, my father-in-law, who's completely spiritual mind, a preacher, and they call him one of the top-notch preachers, and they call him, he was completely clueless what he was saying. And I went to the Lord and said, Lord, how come he doesn't understand what I'm trying to tell him? And the Lord, give me that scripture. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. And I went back and I told him, I said, you know why you don't understand the word I'm saying? Because you're a wicked man. Because it says here, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, he got cancer, and then he died. And then my brother-in-law, I tried to talk to him. And it's about the same thing. Him and his son, that Mac from Swingel, they were, when it comes to doing things, they were in cahoots. They didn't care whether it was right or wrong. Just like my father-in-law told me one day when he was smuggling stuff over from the border, you know, and without paying duty. And that father-in-law said, well, if you smuggle for the colony, it's no sin. Because, you know, how brainwashed they are. But anyway. Mm-hmm. And then my sister-in-law, she got cancer and she died. See, now there's the three of them dying. And then one day I had exactly what it says here. We know all things. By the Spirit we know all things. And one day I had a dream or a vision. I don't even know what it was. It was in between a dream and in between a vision. But I saw them down in hell. And I saw my father-in-law and his son Mac. And they were where my father-in-law went. That's where Mac went. Just like they were when they were here on earth. They were supporting one another. When it comes to do shady deals, Mac would support my father-in-law. My father-in-law would support Mac. And that's where my father-in-law went, Mac was right behind him, going wherever, doing whatever, reading whatever. Everything they did, That's exactly what they did here on Earth, supporting one another, and it's the same thing over now. That's what the, and then behind was my sister-in-law, Judy, and she kept saying, Dad, why did you bring me to this place? Dad, why did you bring me to this? Over and over and over again. And that's the place of the dome. That's where they are. It is real to me. This is why I know it's real. That's why we put all our resources, all our effort in. We're putting all our effort in toward people, because there is a day coming when you go close your eyes. That's one of those places you're going. And then you haven't done nothing for your eternal destiny. That's exactly where you're going. And then, and then when I try to tell the people about that, they think he's crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. He's irrelevant. He's crazy. Mm-hmm. He's got mental problems. He's been baptized 15 times.
It's so set up that with their sermons that they have, that people are deceived that is the way to heaven. Because I did hear a lady one time say she doesn't need to read the Bible. She just goes and listens to church time. Mm-hmm. See, that's a good way where the devil can deceive you. If you don't go to the Bible and find out these things, if these things are not so, what God has done in this hour, he sent a prophet, and this scripture that God has for this end time, for the hour of time we're living in. See, if you do not put in an effort to search out these things, if they are so, you're going to just sit there and be deceived, because they are so designed to make you comfortable and confident that is the way to heaven. Like they like to quote that song, Sicher heit hat viel betrogen. But you know what? That is an environment, and the ultimate environment for Sicherheit hat viel betrogen. Like they're so sure of their religion, of their traditional lifestyle, that's the way to heaven, that they are actually convinced it is, and they're so deceived that it is, and you cannot tell them otherwise.
Yeah, see, Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life. He's still the way. You got to go through him to get to heaven, and they figure you just got to be in the community to get to heaven. Now, time and time again, I've had run-ins with people, and like when we sent that guy from Woodland some books, and he phoned me up, madder than a hornet, and he said, "We got our sermons, you know. They don't want to hear the Bible. Mm-hmm. We got our sermon. We don't need your books. Don't you send any more books here?" And then when I went up to see that guy, and I honest from home with. In the hospital, first thing he said, "We got our preachers, you know. We almost up eating it." Like he was afraid I was going to start preaching to him or something. Mm-hmm. Well, I could tell right away he's not interested. Why would I talk to him about things that have eternal value when he's not even interested in them?
That's right, because that's how captivated the devil has them through that religious structure that they have. They have their preachers, their popes, and their servants that they're 500, 600 years old, and they're so deceived in that you could, like I talked to this one lady, the Lord was going to heal her, but she was so steeped in that traditional religious atmosphere that she could not even ask me to pray for her so God mm-hmm. could heal her. And that's how religion can deceive you and blind you.
See, all we're doing, we're not talking bad about, we're just exposing it, how blind these people are, and we're just trying to help them out to see if we can somehow get your foot in the door to at least take a look at reality. Like, stop for a moment in time mm-hmm. and look at reality. There is a place called hell, and there is a place called heaven. And if you're so deceived that they think that when you die, you automatically go to heaven. They don't even believe in the millennium. My uncle, he was excommunicated because somehow he found out there is a millennium. There is a 1,000-year reign of Christ where Jesus comes down here and he runs a business here for 1,000 years and to bring this planet to back exactly where it was before the fall, before Adam and Eve, before Satan got Adam and Eve polluted and what he's done in the last 6,000 years is to destroy this planet, and then Jesus comes back down here for 1,000 years to rejuvenate this planet, to bring this planet back, because the Bible says those that will be found worthy to go into that age of regeneration where Jesus Christ with his government and his people that have been found faithful, he's going to bring this planet back to where exactly what the Bible says, those that will be found worthy to go into that age of regeneration where he regenerates the planet back. Mm-hmm. But see, they don't even believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Mm-hmm. See, you and I believe it. Like I say, my uncle who was terminated simply because he believed in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And that's just how blind they are. They don't want people to know the program of God. And right now, see, you and I, we found out the mind of God. We found out the program of God. We found out about the 6,000 years that Satan has been given. And we found out the 2 days of Isaiah 6:2. After 2 days, he will revive us. Then he's going to go back to the Jews. That grace age that we were in for the last 2,000 years, that has run its course. Now, Jesus is no more on the seat of mercy. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's down here in spirit form. He's doing exactly what the Bible says. When the fullness of the Gentiles is coming, Jesus will once again go back to the Jews. And that's what you see over in Israel. If you can only open up your eyes and listen to what the news says, how Israel is taking her land back, and eventually this is all over. They're going to be building their temple, and Jesus is down here doing exactly, when they ask him who Jesus is, he's down here to expose himself to the Jewish people, because they have crucified him, and they ask him, where did you get these marks in your hands and your feet? He said, I got them in the house of my friend, because he's exposing them. He's giving them a vision or something. I don't know how he does it. He don't literally see Jesus down here, but he's out there doing exactly what the Bible says. Revealing himself to the Jewish people, family by family. And as time goes on, you'll see more and more. You won't hear these things on the news, but you can hear them. I got some people that I know, and from time to time, I hear them say that they had an encounter with Jesus. See, Jesus is here in spirit form, and that's where he's at right now. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why you're going to see from here on out. Don't worry about this Muslim winning this election in New York. Don't worry about what's going on about these drug cartels and all that, because Jesus is now on the throne in his kingship position, and all these things, all this corruption, and all this Muslim and all these religions, they're being faded out, they're being pushed out, because Jesus is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how did we find it? Simply because of that scripture, that we're hear this from the Spirit of the Living God, because we know all things, we know everything that the Lord feels that we need to know for the day and hour we're living in. That's why he took me and allowed me to see that vision where my father-in-law is at.
Like it says, there are no more children tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. Like we have been taught through the righteousness for our day and hour. God sent a prophet in this day and age, that Elijah spirit, and that spirit of Elijah taught us to go back to the word of God. And that's how we know the day and hour we're living in. Otherwise, we would be blind, like all the people out there, blind mm-hmm. as blind can be to the hour and time we're living mm-hmm. in. But God, through those 7 church ages, the 7 being the Laodicea church age, sent a prophet to do what? To make us aware of the hour and time we were living in, and to line ourselves up with the word of God, not with some religion, but with the word of God, to make sure we're lined up with the water baptism, we're lined up with that we have, we're dressed with that revelation, that we have eyesight to see the hour and the time we're living in. Because without that, we would all be swept away by this tide of deception.
Yeah, just like Laodicea says, yeah, you buy of me gold. He said, you're naked, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're blind. That's the church world out there. Mm-hmm. Naked, wretched, mm-hmm. miserable. Then he says, I advise you, counsel of thee. He begs and pleads, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And that gold has been tried in the fire assembly, the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And that's the only job description that you and I have. We're trying to tell people to go back to listen to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And now it has evolved into the only thing that's left. All the grace age is over. Grace is not over, but the grace age, the 2,000 years of grace, has run its course, and now we're living in the week of Daniel. And in that week of Daniel, there's a little window there, a little window for that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's all our mission is. We tell people about that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they're like you were saying yesterday about Ezekiel. Well, they might not hear it. Some might hear it. Some might not, but that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to put it out there, to let people know what the Lord has allowed us to see the last 40 years, that God sent the prophet, God sent the chief apostle, and now there's only one thing left. We know exactly the day and hour we're living in. We're living in the week of Daniel, and just up the road here, it can blow up any time. Because it says when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. And then once that happens, that Pope, he's going to get these two witnesses killed in Israel. And then after that, that rapture is on. And there's nobody that can stop it. Because God knows exactly when he's going to activate that. And then up there, there's that rapture. And then the day of the Lord comes in. It's a horrible time. It's a time that you don't want to be here. It's a time that you want to have prepared yourself for the day and hour that we're now living in, for the thing that's up the road. And it's just like it says about Belshazzar, the king made a feast for a banquet. And it's just the same thing today. All they're interested in is a party, you know, another barbecue, another party. And here we are trying our level best to stay on course so that we have something that's beneficial for the day and the hour that we're now living in.
And that's what it was all done to prepare us for the regions beyond. Like there's a preparation time in order to enter into the regions beyond. Like there's either a place called heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. And what you have done in this life, like what you have accumulated and sought for in this life, that's the region where you're going to end up. And we've prepared ourselves all our lives for the day and hour we're living in now, so that we can be led and guided by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen to that.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We just had a conversation about all the things that you've walked us through in our journey of life. As a warning to people, Lord, there is a region beyond, and this life is a life that we can have choices and determine where we're going to spend eternity, Lord. And we just want to evoke a seriousness in people, Lord, that they have to do their part too, that they have to search out these things, Lord, that they can't just be comfortable living in a system of religion and not do anything for their eternal destiny. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.